Well, I do believe that many times in life, the things that you go through dictate, if you want, what it is that you pick up from the Word of God. If you're having a difficult time, the verses of Scripture that promise strength or comfort or encouragement, those are the ones that come to the fore. And if you're going through difficult times, if you're going through great times, as we heard about David rejoicing, there's many times I've just been driving down the road and I just had to say, thank you, Lord. You can't really do a dance in the car in case you end up on the hedge, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answering those prayers. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. I had an aunt that was charismatic, and there had been a lot of this, that, and the other. I was saved out of a charismatic church. There'd be a lot of falling about and flopping about, and I don't go for that at all. I would tend to be your very reserved English style of person. But I know what it's like to feel. Just to have a prayer answered or for God to do something. I just go, thank you, Lord. And then I tell people about it. I want to spend a minute or two just talking about the compassion that God has for his people, for his children, in fact, for the whole world. In Matthew chapter 8, it says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. Excuse me. They will faint by the way, for divers of them have come from afar. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and they were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of fellowship, for this time of praise, for this time of worship, for this time, Lord, of obedience and being in your house. And I pray, Father, please, for every man, for every preacher of the gospel that stands behind this pulpit, Lord, that you would anoint and that you would provision them. I pray you for the words to speak. And I pray, Lord, that the backswing of that double-edged sword would cut me as well as it cuts everybody else, or that it would heal me as well as it would heal everybody else. We just love you and thank you, Father. And we ask all of this, and of course, for our private prayer request, and for that Lady Monique, Lord, as well. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. That lady's name was Monique, wasn't it? Do you know what? That's just crazy. Monique. A single woman out serving the Lord, and Monica, what used to be a single woman out serving the Lord, but amen. The days in the Lord's walked the earth, you know what, the need for salvation was no different than it was right now, because we just need the Lord. Amen. And that's just the long and short of it. And I believe all of the trouble that's in this world is people trying to live life without the Lord and trying to put so many things into their lives by way of substitutes. John the Baptist had finished his work. He had decreased and the Lord had increased. He had prepared the way of the Lord, and many hearts were turned to follow in Jesus. And we see a bunch of folks. And these folks followed Jesus beyond their means, beyond their ability to actually see themselves back home. And we see the Lord knew this already, because the Bible says the Lord had compassion on the multitude. And he knew what he was going to do. And He asked, like, what have you got to offer? He said to the disciples, and they had seven loaves and a few fishes. And he says, well, this is what I have to offer. You can maybe keep a few folks going for a bit. You know what? I can keep folks going for not just a day. I can keep folks going for 40 years in the desert. And he repeated literally repeated the miracle of feeding his people in the wilderness, as if to say, it's the same God.
Amen.
That's nothing. 4,000 people, men, not counting women and children. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. That's nothing to God. God was walking and talking with his people, and he was then the God of miracles and saving souls. And he is today the God of miracles and saving souls. I'm proof of it here today. God's great, he really is. But what really caught my attention, and I'm sure you know, is the compassion that the Lord had. And before we talk about the love that God has for us, we can't go past 1 Corinthians 13, because I know it's not the case, and for folks that are walking and talking with God, we don't think that love is that physical reaction to a member of the opposite sex. That's not the love that we're talking about. That's romantic love. We're talking about the real, honest-to-goodness Christian love that any soul can have for any other soul. The love that comes from God, from knowing God as your Savior, and having God living in your heart. So I'm going to read these few verses from 1 Corinthians 13. You know how it starts. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity or that good Christian love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And that's the difference that godly love makes. Anything you do without the love of God in your heart, it means nothing, because someday you're going to be gone. And that's that. This is the real beautiful description of Christian love. Agape, sacrificial love. Charity suffereth long, is kind, it envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, I'm cutting words out here, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. And nowhere does it say that your heart rate will increase and your pupils will dilate. This is the way we feel for a little child on its own. We feel that protection for it. This is the way we feel for a brother or sister that's having a difficult time. We want to pray for them. We want to, if you have no finesse, you just go and ask them what's wrong. Like, what's up with you? What can I do?
Yeah.
That's the love. The love that preaches the hard messages.
Uh-oh.
That sometimes are going to, you know, that are going to sip a little bit, not right with folks, but they're from the Bible. As many as the time I said, oh, this is a great message, God. This is a great message. Thank you for the inspiration. And I close the book and go to bed, and I'm saying my prayers. I'm thinking, Brother Alan's not going to like that. Or somebody else is not going to like that. That speaks directly to them. But sometimes I had to put a disclaimer, and none of these messages were written with anybody in mind. But when you love people and these things are on your mind, God will constrain you to do what he needs for you to do.
Amen.
Now, it's not just for the 4,000 or 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Like, let's be honest, if you're going to feed 4,000 men with seven loaves and a few fishes, it's not a stretch to include the wives and the children as well. Honest, let's be honest. It's not just for those people that turned up. For the best preaching in the world, Pastor, I'm sorry to say, your preaching is good, best preaching in the world. but every man, woman, and child that has ever lived. God has compassion towards us all. It's not to them, it's to us. And if you want to take the examples from the Bible, it's manifested itself in different ways, but it's still the love of God, even when it's tough love. And let's be honest, we need it. If God says everything will be candy and burgers and fries and pop, and you know, that would suit, I'm sure that would suit a lot of kids and maybe even a few adults. But where would you get your iron and your calcium and all the stuff you really need to get up and going of a morning? We need it all. In the book of Mark, chapter 12, it says that the common people heard God gladly. He didn't have walls to break down. He just had to tell them that gospel that they were just waiting for.
Right.
They had no airs and graces. They had no pretensions. They knew they needed God. And the common people heard him gladly, no matter what he said. Well, almost no matter what he said. Because there was one time whenever he really pressed in, the milk stopped being poured and the meat started being carved and a lot of folks walked away from him. Remember the words of Peter? Hey, it doesn't matter whether that's a piece of meat with a wee bit of gristle in it or whether that's a tall glass of cool milk. Where else are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We need it. If the pastor ever says something that doesn't sit well with you and you read it in the Bible, he's right, the Bible's right, you're wrong.
Yes.
And the best attitude to have is to say, do you know what, God, that's sitting, that is sitting mighty wrong with me today, but I know it's me.
Thank God.
As the man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Right.
Do you remember the rich young ruler that came to visit Jesus, and he came running up and he said, Lord, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, have you tried the commandments? Do those work for you? And he said, no. And he said, you know what you're lacking for your money, for your education, for following the commandments, for going to church? He says, you need to get saved. You need to take the money out of your heart and put the God in.
Amen.
And I want for you to know. That does not mean that wealthy people are going to hell.
Yeah.
It means lost people are going to hell whether they're wealthy or not.
Amen.
The verse that always chokes me up on that is when the Bible says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He told him the truth. Yes, it was a hard truth. But he told him the truth and he told him in love in a way that he could have said, do you know what? You're absolutely right. That's what I need to do. I'm not talking about people's reactions to that in depth because people are going to react differently to the gospel. What about the scribes and the Pharisees? Goodness, was there ever more written? I can't think about any other section of society in the Bible. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, he says, you hypocrites. Severe rebukes, but not because he hated them. It was because they needed to know that they were opposing God. And even for the severe rebukes, there were a few that said, you know what, God, you're absolutely right. Nicodemus, who would have thought? An old minister, an old preacher. An old Jewish rabbi, he got saved.
Amen.
We had Jairus. Jairus, he had to eat a lot of humble pie. Ruler in the synagogue, when he had to come to Jesus in front of everybody else and say, Lord, my little girl is dying.
Amen.
Would you come and fix her? And you had Joseph of Arimathea, calls him a wealthy counselor. But he was the one secretly. He was the one that came and begged the body of Jesus and loaned him his tomb. There were some that changed and there were some that responded to that compassion. But we know, just as Pilate said, they knew that the scribes and the Pharisees had delivered Jesus for jealousy. And there has to come a point where we let go of what's bad for us and cling to what God has for us. Do you remember the Gentile woman whose little girl was possessed with a demon? Lord, please. And he said, do you know what? It's not fit to give the children's meat unto the dogs. And she cried, Lord, but even the dogs can get the crumbs that come from the table. And sometimes we have to press. We have to press on to avail ourselves of the compassion. Because many times in this life, it doesn't just get left in our laps. We will have to put our best feet forward. Just like when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan, the Lord said, go in up to your feet. And when you go in up to your feet, I'll make the water give way for you. And sometimes we have to do that. Do you remember the maniac of Gadara? An awfully fierce man, like the Incredible Hulk, whom we all glorify today. But the Bible says, people like this, except for Samson, people like this, that exhibit these incredible physical strengths and characteristics, they were devil-possessed. That's worth thinking about. He came running to God in spite of all that was going on with him. And Jesus saved him. Remember the crippled man born of four? Jesus didn't turn him away when he was working with everybody else in the house. He healed him too. And honestly, I'm sure he knew he needed Jesus. And his four friends probably said, let's go and see what the rabbi will do with that guy that's always sitting there begging. Let's grab him and bring him to Jesus. Do you think he will ever regret it? My goodness, letting Jesus heal him? Of course he didn't. Remember his friend Lazarus? I've heard a number of preachers speak that Jesus wept simply because he felt the grief of a lost loved one. I've heard a preacher say as well that he wept because he knew Lazarus would have to go through all of that again. But regardless, Jesus, fully man and fully God, he wept for the passing of a friend and raised him from the dead. And his two sisters were pleading with him, not quite understanding what Jesus was going to do. And Jesus had compassion on them. Remember the thieves on the cross? The Lord's compassion was there. The Lord's power was there to save not just them, but the soldiers, the scribes and the Pharisees, the people that mocked him, that said, let us see if God will come down and save him. One man changed his mind. Even though there was no way out, one man changed his mind. And he availed of that gift that God gave him. Imagine being in that situation. There is nothing else there in that situation. When you stand at the brink of eternity, there's no friend can help you. There's no friend with you. Unless you have the friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
When you stand on the brink of eternity, there is no amount of money that will help you. How many times I read a great book, The Last Words of Saints and Sinners, and how many kings said to their physicians, I would give everything for 6 months more in this world. And the physician had to say to, I think it was one of the kings of England, he said, sire, that is one thing I cannot do. Another said, I take a fearful leap into the dark. Those things that we put so much stock in this world mean nothing at the edge of eternity. Mean nothing. The only thing that does is that compassion that God had for us, that Jesus demonstrated for us and given his life on that old rugged cross 2,000 years ago. And in case you think it was just a New Testament thing, I fired down a few Old Testament examples. One of the worst was Nebuchadnezzar, conqueror of the known world, putter to death of, goodness, anybody that stood against him. And God broke him. I believe Nebuchadnezzar, I believe we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven again. Took him 7 years, but he learned the lesson. And he opened up his eyes and he praised the God of heaven.
Amen.
God saved him. Probably one of the bloodiest men in history. And God saved him. Remember Ruth the Moabitess? Forbidden. The Jews were forbidden to have anything to do with the Moabites. And Ruth married into the line of King David. Remember Naaman the leper? Chief general of pagan king. And God's power and compassion to that man was shed towards him and received by him. And Jesus even went on to mention him whenever he was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And how many times did the Lord redeem the whole nation of Israel from the land of Egypt, from their enemies? Yes, there were a lot of hard lessons learned there. And as we read the New Testament, what about that fella, Saul the oppressor, Paul the apostle? Who really, if in Northern Ireland they would say, he really needed a slap. He really, or probably tarred and feathered and hung from a lamppost. But he forgave Paul the apostle.
Amen.
And we know that Paul went through a great many things because he knew what was the cost of trusting in Jesus Christ. And he did it. I love to hear about the great things that are written in the book that God has stored for us and preserved for us and promised he will always have for us in this world. That he will do for any soul that will be a big enough man or woman to just say, you know what, God, you're right, I'm wrong. Please save me. For anybody, literally. Do you know, there's one, I have a pet peeve. Has anybody ever heard of these participation awards that are given? Turn up and you'll get a prize. They say to the little children, instead of teaching them about striving for excellence,
right,
says the man that always ended up about the middle somewhere. But do you know God will give you a participation award if you turn up at the foot of the cross?
Amen.
He will bless and help and
Amen.
Provision.
Amen.
He will do that because he loves you. You're his kids. Do you remember what the pastor was talking about, the shadow? And he said to the scribes and the Pharisees, that pale shadow of God's love is shed abroad in the heart of every father and every mother towards their children. How much more do you think the real thing will be for his children? God loves us. And that compassion is never cooled and it is never dimmed because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's that other comforter. He is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If you're saved here today, you have a little bit of the shadow of that real compassion, that incredible compassion. You have that. And that same compassion that constrained Jesus Christ to leave his throne in heaven, a perfect place, to be born of a virgin here, to be surrounded with death every moment of every day, because when he looked at us, he could see our end and our sins.
Right.
And he still came here.
Uh-huh.
I am sure he could think of at least a million other things he would rather have been doing too whenever the Lord said, I need you to give your life on the cross of Calvary. That wasn't something that the Lord did, hopping and skipping down the aisle of a church. He sweat great drops of blood knowing what that would do to him, knowing what the experience would do to him. What it would cost him. But because of his love for us, he did that. Remember his words? Lord, that this cup would pass from me. Many times have we said that. This is not a job I am looking forward to. But Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, and you are open to the leading of the Lord, what was it the Lord said? The works that I did, you will do greater works than these because I go to my Father which is in heaven. You can do that. You can let that compassion out in your life. You can let your light so shine before God so that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we would prayerfully hope that they would trust that very same God as their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Our love for the brethren shows that we're saved.
That's right.
But our love for the lost shows that we're walking and talking with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know what, friends? I have honestly, and I'm finished with my message, and again, I just want to thank you. The love of and the compassion of God shed abroad through each one of you that I have had the pleasure and the honour to talk with and to fellowship with this past week and in years gone by. It's the love of God, and we really, really appreciate it. Thank you very, very much indeed. God bless each and every one of you.
Amen.
Well, I love that message. That's good, isn't it? Absolutely.
Thank you.